Saga Egmont presents Tessa Cavendish is Getting Married by Susie Tullett. Read by Jessica Preddy. For every quirky mother out there, long may your enthusiasm continue. Chapter 1. March. I lay in the bath, marinating in water that had long since cooled. I knew I should get out before my lips turned blue, but with every passing shiver I told myself just one more minute. My stomach rumbled as the mouth-watering aroma of Leo's cooking drifted up into the room. Despite feeling hungry, I resisted its lure. Everyone knew how snappy and uncooperative I could be when I had an empty belly, and plying me with food was, no doubt, an exercise in damage limitation. A means for Leo to minimize any scene I might cause. Leo had been acting strange for days. Ever since his visit to see his brother, Niall, up in Cumbria, he'd been nervous and on edge, nothing like the laid-back guy I knew and loved. I'd asked him what was wrong because he clearly had something on his mind, only to be met with dismissals and smiles that never quite reached his eyes. I thought I'd go mad if I heard him say, "I'm fine," one more time. We'd been a couple long enough for me to know when he was lying, and recognizing all the signs, I had a good idea why. He was getting ready for the "it's not you, it's me" speech. As much as it hurt, I had to admit our breakup was inevitable. Leo, the tall, dark, and handsome party lover, was always going to get bored of a plain but scrubs-up-well-if-pushed homebird like me. In our 30s, we might be similar in age, but personality-wise, we couldn't be more different. While his weekend away had been a chance to catch up with his equally outgoing brother and friends, it had enabled him to get out and have some fun for a change, obviously making him realize what he'd been missing. I scoffed. No wonder the man had taken to spending night after night teaching the dog new tricks, as if getting Otis to balance a treat on his nose was more entertaining than anything I had to offer. Otis, I would miss that dog too. He and Leo came as a package, and I'd got used to having both of them around. I scolded myself for believing that Leo was in our relationship for the long haul. No matter what people said, opposites didn't really attract. "Dinner's almost ready," he called up. I frowned as I mimicked Leo's words. "Dinner's almost ready." I knew I was being childish, but I couldn't help myself. Usually keen to sample the man's gastronomic delights, as far as I was concerned, that night's dish could burn. Continuing to avoid the unavoidable, I stayed right where I was. I sighed. It was okay for Leo. He could scurry back to Cumbria and get on with his life. I, on the other hand, had no choice but to face the fallout. It wouldn't just be me losing myself in ice cream and breakup songs. My whole family would be seeking solace. The Cavendishes hadn't only welcomed Leo with open arms, they'd fallen for the man, and telling them Leo and I were no longer a couple was not going to be easy. Mum would be the worst. No matter the issue, she always came down on Leo's side. I could already picture her disappointment and hear what she'd insist were words of wisdom. "Don't say I didn't warn you. Cooping yourself up in that shed of yours Monday to Friday, spending your weekends in front of the telly." Whenever Mum described my life, she always tended to oversimplify. The numerous hours I spent reading, dog walking, or with a sketch pad and pencil, never got a mention, while the shed, as she liked to call it, was, in fact, a pottery studio. A man like that was bound to get bored. As for what you look like... I ran my hand through my wet, half-curly, half-straight mop of hair, while my eyes settled on the old jeans and sweater that sat crumpled in a pile on the bathroom floor. "A bit of a tidy-up once in a while wouldn't go amiss.